Celebrating 30 years on Utah's airwaves, Western Life Radio thanks you for joining us around the campfire and for your ongoing support to Utah's longest-running home, garden, travel, and outdoor adventure program. You can always join us on our online campsite at westernliferadio.com.
Is your boat registered and insured for the summer season? Most boats must have proof of insurance on board and be properly registered with bow numbers and stickers. Take the Utah Boating or Coast Guard Auxiliary courses and you just might get a discount on your insurance. For a copy, call 801-538-BOAT. This message brought to you by the Utah State Parks Boating Program.
Discover the magic within Utah State Parks with an annual State Parks Pass. From boating and fishing to hiking, camping, and off-highway vehicle adventures, Utah State Parks offers a wide variety of activities in the great outdoors. An annual State Park Pass opens the gate to year-round adventures at an amazing price. The annual State Park Pass provides day-use access for you and your family for 12 months from date of purchase. In addition, Utah State Parks opens the gate to cultural and historical parks where you can learn more about Utah's rich heritage. And don't forget to reserve your favorite campsites year-round with options in teepees, yurts, and hammocks in addition to the standard tent and RV options. Visit the trailhead for more information at stateparks.utah.gov.
Faster Utah empowers teachers, administrators, and other school staff to defend themselves in case of a school shooting. We teach advanced firearms and trauma first aid skills. Graduates of the Faster program pass the same post-qualification shoot as Utah law enforcement. For more information and find out how you can help, go to fasterutah.org.
Connect with the world through Rise Broadband and stay in touch with all things important to you and your family. Known as the number one fixed wireless internet provider in the United States, Rise Broadband will keep you connected with work, school, shopping, and entertainment. Whether you live in a suburban or rural area, Rise helps keep you and your family connected with the people and things that you value most. Rise Broadband offers flexible packages designed to meet your budget so you can enjoy all your favorite music and movies with fast, reliable, in-home Wi-Fi. Stream your favorite shows, play the hottest games without buffering, and stay in touch with family and friends. Get more for less with Rise Broadband. To check availability in your area, visit risebroadband.com or call 844-411-RISE.
Put on your helmet. Let's go.
But, Mom, when will I be old enough so I don't have to wear my helmet? When will I become invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my helmet, too. Anyone can get hurt, no matter how old they are.
Be responsible and set an example when you ride. Accidents do happen. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
Spring is fast approaching, and Sportsman's Warehouse shares your passion for hiking, fishing, camping, and hunting. If you want to feel at one with nature, this is the place to gear up. Sportsman's Warehouse has the latest in fishing to help you catch the big ones as the ice melts, or get above the inversion with new hiking boots. Their experts combined with a terrific selection truly make Sportsman's Warehouse the great indoors for those that love the great outdoors. Utah born and Utah proud, Sportsman's Warehouse, take it outside.
Kindness. It's a single smile, a thoughtful word, a small, unexpected gesture. Whatever the act may be, it's something we call kindness. Yet sometimes in such a chaotic world, people forget the power that kindness holds. Kindness can brighten a moment, lift someone's spirits, turn a bad day into a good story. Kindness can make someone's week, or month, or year. Kindness can restore faith in humanity, and some say it can even make us healthier. All with a simple, small, perhaps unseen or anonymous act. So, think about this. What would happen if a small act of kindness sparked another small act of kindness, and then another, and another, and another? What if kindness became contagious, and all the small gestures done by many would make an impact felt around the nation, around the world? Imagine that power. And all it takes is one kind act a day.
Haramoto now joins us once again with Utah State Parks. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes with us around the campfire.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
We're honored to have you on the program. We're fast approaching the big Memorial Day weekend, and Utah State Parks has plenty of opportunities in the next couple of weeks.
Absolutely. I mean, obviously, this time of year is the kickoff for the summer, you know, outdoor recreation season. And yeah, we look forward to seeing our normal crowds that come back to our state parks to recreate. So it's an exciting time. And if you haven't made plans, there's still time to do that. So yeah, please look into our wonderful state parks. We've got 46 of them. And so hopefully there's one close to you or close to home that, yeah, you can take advantage of.
Exactly. Now, for folks unfamiliar with you, you've been with the Utah State Parks program for quite a few years.
Yep, I've been with state parks for 24 years. I had the fortunate opportunity to work in several of our state parks, mostly in the northern area, whether it be Antelope Island, Hiram, or East Canyon up in Morgan. It's just been a wonderful career working within state parks and starting at the ranger level, right? I was in law enforcement at the time, moving through the system, and now I'm in administration for the division, and it's just been an incredible, incredible career that I've had and been very blessed to be a part of it. So, yeah, it's just been awesome.
We sure excited to have you in this position, and it's really nice that you've had the background that you have. You've worked on the ground level, you've worked different state parks, you know what the state parks need, and you know what the customer needs too.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's obviously one of the things that we focus on a lot when it comes to how we operate within state parks is really what the customer needs and customer wants, right? So we're always looking for those cool opportunities for people to take advantage of, whether it be as improving our trail systems, having expanded concession operations at our state parks, and really just trying to find those little things that make your experiences that much better when you come visit a state park. So,
you're exactly right. We're starting to see lots of folks getting excited. They're bringing their boats out for the first time of the year. Safe Boating Week is right on our doorsteps right now. What are some reminders or things that people should keep in mind as they get ready to unpack their boat for the first boating adventures of the season?
Right. We love and appreciate our boating community that comes out every year and supports our state parks. With that said, obviously, some of the things that you can do, especially during Safe Boating Weeks at some of our state parks, if you contact those, they can get a hold of some of our law enforcement officers to come and do a vessel inspection, right? Those are the safety items that you should have on your boat when you're operating on the water. And those are safety equipment that you should have, right? Well, the main things that we really want to focus on too are life jackets, right? Especially on the non-motorized side of things, like our paddle boards, our canoes, our kayaks. It's important that you have, and we really ask people to wear those life jackets too, right? To put those on, secure those life jackets. And here's the cool part about a lot of our state parks is that if you come to a state park, whether you're swimming or boating, and you forget your life jacket, we have loaners available for you and your family members, your friends, to utilize while you're at the park. It's a loaning, it's kind of a checkout system where you come in and just scan a simple QR code, be able to check out a life jacket and then just return it when you're done. It's a cool program that we've had around for many years that we're really going to highlight during Safe Boating Week, and just take advantage of those life jackets because they can save your life, right? A lot of unfortunate things happen when you're either on a boat or maybe when you're swimming, where that life jacket comes into play could be the difference between saving your life. So that's one of the things that we strongly encourage, especially with our boating community, to wear a life jacket.
Game changer. In fact, I've seen a lot of those checkout stations at Utah Lake and many other locations at our state parks and other waterways. Big game changer. If you forget it for some reason, you still have that safety net.
Absolutely. And like I said, we're doing a big push during Safe Boating Week on the 19th. We'll have a small event up at Jordan Elk to really showcase and kind of update all of our life jacket stations, right? You've probably seen them around and maybe they're a little bit aging and other things. And this year we're bringing all new life jackets to all of our stations that we have in our state parks. So whether you go to Utah Lake, Bear Lake, or East Canyon, you'll have those availabilities for those life jackets. We have so many great partners that want to see everybody safe when it comes to boating safety, with whether it be our local hospitals and our health departments that really, really just want to reduce our fatalities on the water. And really, a lot of it comes to wearing that life jacket. So,
game changer. Right now, our current wearage is under 10%. It's like 7 to 9%, if I remember correctly. And man, it makes all the difference in the world. We encourage everyone to wear it every time.
Absolutely. Yep. If we could just do that, I think there'd be some more positive outcomes when it comes to some of the situations that we run into. Yeah.
What are some other reminders as we fast approach Safe Boating Week?
When you go out, just check current conditions. Obviously, as you've seen this spring, our Utah weather changes frequently, right? And so ensuring that people are really understanding what the current conditions are, check the weather reports, talk to the people at our state parks to ask them what the current conditions are. Sometimes, like I said, when the weather pattern changes, we get strong winds at our reservoirs. That can cause some unsafe situations on the water, especially for our non-motorized users, where it's harder to get back to shore if you're a distance away when the wind comes up. So just really check into those weather features. We also have current conditions on our website, too, if you want to check those out. And you can also call the park, and they'll give you an updated weather report live from the park itself. So that's another great reminder for folks to take advantage of.
I like the fact that we have so many different opportunities throughout the state, and current conditions are reported regularly. People can find out what the conditions are. And in spite of it being a very dry year, we still have some great boating opportunities at state parks.
Absolutely. Believe it or not, on our Wasatch Back, the water levels, obviously we can always use more, right? But several of our reservoirs are doing okay. So they'll have some great boating opportunities for, I would say, most of the summer to use. So again, that's another situation too, where you can easily call State Park and they ask what the ramp or water levels are when they're coming up to the park. Is it safe to launch my boat? They'll give you updated information as we go. And we'll also update the websites too, so people can easily just log in and check just to see it. They're maybe at their favorite reservoir. Is it safe for me to launch my boat? And what those current conditions look like. But you're right. With it being a pretty dry year this year, some of our reservoirs may not have that water availability throughout the full summer, but it is a great opportunity for other non-motorized users to take advantage of the lake, or anglers will still have a lot of those opportunities still for folks to take advantage of when they're making their plans for the summer.
Good idea. Take advantage of it early, come often, and enjoy it as best you can. And with the lowering water levels, we're going to be a little closer to each other out on the water. Encourage everyone to be courteous to other boaters as well as the shoreline anglers.
Yeah, that always makes your time out boating a lot safer, because we know about the speed and proximity rules that we have in place in state parks and on any water body in the state of Utah. But when the water level gets low, yeah, you're going to be confined to smaller spaces, right? So really understanding and being courteous to those other boaters on the shorelines, especially, like, I'm an angler. I know growing up, my dad was a shoreline angler too. And so it gets a little bit tense when those boaters are coming fairly close to you on the shoreline. And so make sure that you keep the minimum distance away when you're doing that, and it just causes a better environment for everybody on the lake. It's hard when we want to get out and play, and there's just not enough water surface area to do that.
Coming up also, we have OHV Safety Week coming up. Encourage everyone to be safe. Make sure when you unpack your OHVs for the upcoming riding season, if you haven't done already, make sure you have your helmet, make sure it fits well, check your gear, make sure you're not wearing the flip-flops when you hit the trail.
Yeah, that's a good one. That is a great one. In fact, when I've taught our OHV classes before, and we talked, especially our youth, we talk about, like, if you're on your OHV and you break down a significant distance away from the trailhead where you came from, you may have to walk back, right? And I don't know if flip-flops on a mountain trail is kind of the best mode to get back, right, with having some sore feet. But you're absolutely right. Making sure that you have appropriate riding gear is always important. As you mentioned right at the top, like the helmet is the number one safety item that you can have when you're riding your OHV. And so we love it when we see people wearing their helmet. Again, when we talk about game changers, those are it. Unfortunately, we've seen far too many accidents when folks haven't been wearing their helmets. And again, the outcome is a lot different if you do. So, yeah, we're just encouraging everybody to take the proper safety equipment. And if there's questions on what equipment you need to use, like at a state park, so for instance, if you go to Sand Hollow, you want to ride Sand Mountain, and you're not sure exactly what equipment you need to have, just give the park a call, and they can inform you of the equipment items you need. If you happen to forget something, too, a lot of our state parks that have a significant amount of OHV, their general stores typically have supplies that you need. Don't worry if you're in kind of a remote area. Just go talk to our state parks, and they typically will have what you need at those locations as well.
Good reminders. And whether it's OHVs or boating, there are education courses that make all the difference, too, to making sure we know what we need to do, know the rules of the road, know the rules of the water, make sure we are out there playing with the same rules everybody else is.
Absolutely. The state OHV program has made it very easy to take these courses, right? You can do an online course if you want to, and if you want to get a little bit more hands-on, they still have classes that you can do the hands-on portion of riding a four-wheeler from an instructor. So, yeah, just if you get a chance, just go to the Division Outdoor Recreation's webpage, and you'll find the OHV section where you can get more information about those classes and how to sign up for those.
Yeah, and they're really affordable. You got free options there. Take advantage of them early, long before your date of the trip. Trying to do it in the car on the way to the destination isn't always the best.
Yeah, it might get a little frustrating for you, right? But probably one of those situations, too, where it's good, especially if the youth are taking the class, to have a little bit of study time as they go through this. So it's kind of at your own pace. We want folks to really just take advantage of that and you really learn the concepts that are being taught within the course itself. So, yeah, having a little bit of lead time before you go out is always good practice so that you can have everything prepared before you go. Doing it in your car, you're absolutely right, would be a challenge to get that done before you start riding. So,
especially if you're going in and out of cell coverage, that doesn't make it very easy.
Yep, and as you know, most of our wonderful state parks and other places to ride have limited coverage, unfortunately. And so, yeah, that's another thing to be thinking about. And it's also a safety thing, too, of knowing and maybe talking to folks before you go out, right? We always encourage to go out with a partner as well. So if you go into one of those remote areas and you don't have cell phone service, if something happens, that you'll be able to have that contact person that you had contacted, make arrangements to come find you if needs be, type of that. So
if folks want to sign up for one of these courses, where do they go?
Yep. If you just visit the Division of Outdoor Recreation webpage, there is the OHV tab that will be listed on their website, and then you'll find the course information right on that page.
Same thing with the boating side of things. I like how easy it's been made. I like the options that are provided. It's appropriate both for adults and youth. If you're an adult, you might even save some money on your insurance.
Absolutely. It's just one of those things where you get more training, right, is always a good thing. And believe it or not, I've even taught adults when I was really heavily involved in teaching the off-highway vehicle program, that they learned a lot, too, just from coming to the course or being a part of the course when they learned the curriculum. It really is helpful for about everybody, so.
As we're fast approaching the summer season, now's the perfect time to make those reservations.
Yes, it is. As you know, many of our state parks are very busy during the summer. And this includes our campgrounds. And so if you can plan a little bit ahead, we have a four-month window so you can make reservations 4 months into the future from the date that you want to make those. So anytime for now in the summer, you should be able to make those reservations to our state parks and reserve that campground. And we also encourage people to do it as soon as possible, just because they are busy, and unfortunately, we do run out of availability. With that said, there are many state parks that have camping options and availability. So if, for instance, you wanted to look in our cabins, we have cabins or yurts that you can take advantage of. And that's one of the cool things about state parks, too, is just the variety of opportunities when it comes to camping that are out there for our visitors to take advantage of. So if you want to try something new, state parks probably has something for you.
Exactly. Those Conestoga wagons are extremely popular, as well as some of the teepees.
Yep, we've got a wide variety of things. When I was at East Canyon, that was one of the things that we had started, is those Conestoga wagons. You can see them from the highway when you're going towards East Canyon. The crazy part about them is and this is the deceiving thing, is they are large inside. It has a king-size bed, a bunk bed for the kids, a small kitchenette with a table, and a microwave. And so it's really all-inclusive into that space there. It looks small, but when you get into one of those wagons, it's pretty amazing. We have teepees. We have what we call cottages that have several beds in them, a full kitchen, restrooms, other items. It goes all the way back down to primitive camping. If you want to just pitch a tent, we've got sites for that. We have a hammock campsite in several of our state parks. So if you want to just bring your hammock. So the camping options are very vast. So depending on what you want to do, what you want to try, hopefully we have something for everybody.
And the neat thing is you can have a different, entirely different camping experience every week if you wanted to.
Yep, you can go from the Red Rock, beautiful country of southern Utah, to the high alpines here in northern Utah. And yeah, just the scenery alone, the options that you can do. So if you love mountain biking, we have several parks like Wasatch Mountain State Park, East Canyon, that provide and offer mountain biking areas to beautiful hiking areas, like I'd mentioned, like at our Snow Canyon State Park in Washington County. I mean, there's just so many cool places that you can camp and do a lot of fun, different activities. It's just amazing. And on top of that, a lot of our parks do certain type of programming, whether it be interpretive programming, they'll take you out and do a scorpion walk, or we'll have a dark sky viewing to check out like the planets or other things at night, to just fun historic replications we have like at Camp Floyd. There's just so many cool things that we offer within state parks too, that I think it's just more than just a camping experience, if that makes sense. There's just so many things that you can do while you're out.
The fun just starts at sunset. There's so many things to do. Those scorpions are really cool when you bring out the UV lights.
I think so. I mean, it's quite an adventure, right? And I think, you know, I was a little bit scared of them at first, but then when we start looking for them, we don't necessarily hunt them, but when we locate them, and it is pretty cool to see those scorpions. And I think a lot of people wouldn't realize that we have so many within Utah, right? And even in northern Utah that you can find. Like Rockport State Park is famous for their scorpion hunts that they do up there, where we go out and just try to find them and look at them at night. So it's just an awesome opportunity to take advantage of maybe a little bit of after-hours viewing type thing. So
they're amazing. They're invisible until you turn that UV light on. I mean, you have your flashlight on there, and I don't see anything. Turn on the UV, and boing, there they are.
There they are. Yep. It's magical.
It really is. It's pretty wild. And there's so many different night programs going on. The star parties are amazing. And that brings us to a point that so many of our state parks are dark sky parks. We have more dark sky parks than anywhere else in the world.
Yeah, it is truly amazing. This was an initiative that was started many years ago to see how many parks that we could get that designation, an international dark sky park, to make sure our state parks that we could remain dark, right, at night, right? And so it took a lot of effort on our state park side of things to make sure that that would happen. During the process of getting that designation, you have to really work on your lighting to eliminate nearly every light that would produce a trespass of light into the area. And so the parks worked very, very hard to get their lighting under control, plus be able to do the monitoring, but also hold these cool events that we do as well. That's part of our designation, is that we love it to just to have these opportunities to share our night skies with our visitors that come in, because that is a really concern as the population and everything starts to grow in Utah, and there's more homes and more businesses that light up the night sky. We wanted to make sure we had some night areas that we would preserve it as best we could, so that when families and friends come out to take a look at the night sky, that they can actually see the Milky Way. That's one of the big things that we love looking at it on our night skies, too. So,
or the auroras. I mean, we're starting to see them quite often.
They are very popular, too. It's weird because as a kid, I don't really remember them so much, and maybe they weren't as prevalent. But it seems like now the news will kind of alert you to do that. And some of the best places to see those auroras are at our state parks. So if you get a chance and you know that one's coming up, just visit one of our state parks and check it out and see the difference of what you can look at from the auroras from those areas. So
magical experience.
That's it. Magical.
I love it. I mean, it is incredible. Same as here growing up. I don't remember a whole lot of them growing up. Mm-hmm. And I know they go in cycles. And right now we're in the middle of a pretty hot cycle. But mm-hmm. A couple of these last displays we've had, it just blow me away.
And typically, that's one cool thing to do, too, is if you visit our state park page and you click on the events tab, it'll pull up all the events that we have upcoming for the next few months. check those out. And if you want to tie your stay to one of those events, especially our dark sky ones, right? So, because sometimes you're out pretty late in the evening, like till maybe 1 or 2 or 3 in the morning. And sometimes it makes a little bit of sense just to stay at the park and enjoy your campsite, a short walk to your campsite when these programs are finished instead of trying to drive home. So, yeah, take a look at those events and check out some of our dark sky programming, right? I know Antelope Island is notorious for doing some awesome night sky programming, and they've got some wonderful campgrounds as well as Dead Horse Point. They do some fantastic shows as well. So depending on where you're at, there's hopefully a dark sky program in your neck of the woods. So,
and if folks want to take advantage of some of these great camping reservations, where do they go?
Yep, if you just visit our state parks webpage, so stateparks.utah.gov, just check out our homepage. You'll see the camping link there for reservations. Just go ahead and it'll guide you right to our reservation page, and then you can type in any of the state parks and then check out their availability and make your reservation.
And keep in mind also, some of these parks are quite popular. If you want to take advantage of the camping opportunities, sometimes midweek is your best option.
Yeah, midweek is awesome. Definitely, we have more availability during the week. We know a lot of folks are working during the week, and it's maybe a little bit harder to get off. But if you have that time to take advantage of the weekdays for your camping reservations, there's probably a good chance that you can find availability in our campgrounds during the weekdays. It's a great experience to really fully to take advantage of the park and its amenities.
All righty then, let's take a quick break. Be back in a few minutes. When we return, we'll continue our discussion with Chris Haramoto with Utah State Parks. And when we come back, we'll be talking about the best Mother's Day gift you can come across. Stick around, more fun is on the way here on Western Life Radio.
This is Nick Gillespie with Utah State University Extension Integrated Pest Management Program. Let's talk about squash bugs. Squash bugs have a lot of hosts like winter squash, summer squash, and melon. Basically, anything in the cucurbit family. Now, squash bug adults are flat and brown to a gray color, and they have these orange and brown bands along the margins of their abdomen. The eggs are a shiny bronze to red color, and you can find those on the undersides of the leaves. Nymphs develop through several different instars, and they'll start off as a bright green, but they'll eventually turn to gray and brown and start to resemble the adults as they mature. Now, adults and nymphs, they feed with these piercing, sucking, straw-like mouthparts that will suck out the xylem and phloem from our squash plants, which causes them to wilt. Squash bugs have one generation per year here in Utah, but there could be a potential partial second generation in southern Utah. They overwinter as adults in protected sites along the buildings and underneath plant debris or compost pile. They are more of a concern when our squash plants start to develop runners through the harvest. Monitor for squash bugs in the spring when the adults are under the plant debris, perennial plants, or near buildings. Look daily for eggs underneath the leaves, and then consider planting late in the spring or early summer. Watch for that plant wilt, and then remember that the adults and nymphs like to congregate on the lower parts of the plant. Squash bugs are common in cucurbits, especially our pumpkins and squash, and they'll occur every year, and they can be difficult to control when the populations are allowed to build. To manage, consider rotating crops annually with a non-cucurbit crop. Remove or till plant debris at the end of the season to keep fields free of trash or wood. Place wooden boards between the susceptible plants and then lift them up each morning to destroy the aggregated adults and existing eggs. Again, when you're scouting, look for those eggs and remove them with duct tape. Consider covering your young squash plants with a row cover to physically exclude the squash bugs, but remember to eventually remove that row cover to allow for pollination. If populations become really bad, consider using insecticides with active ingredients like pyrethrins, zetacypethrins, and permethrins. Remember, there are some look-alike insects like the brown marmorated stink bug, other brown stink bugs, kissing bugs and the leaf-footed bugs. If you want to learn more about squash bugs and other pests, be sure to visit our website, extension.usu.edu/pests.
Hey, let's hit the lake. Put on your life jackets and let's go.
But Mom, when will I be old enough so I won't drown and I don't have to wear my life jacket? When will I be invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my life jacket too. Anyone can drown, no matter how old they are.
Accidents do happen. Protect yourself and set an example. Wear the proper safety gear when you're on the water. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
Choose your adventure. With 46 state parks and an impressive list of recreational opportunities,
yes, bass fishing at Sand Hall State Park.
Visitors might have a hard time choosing what to do each weekend.
Woo! Windsurfing at Deer Creek State Park.
Choose your adventure. Explore Utah and create memories at Utah State Parks. For campground reservations, ideas for your next adventure, or to purchase an annual pass, stop by stateparks.utah.gov.
If you would like a little more from your range experience than standing and shooting holes in paper, come and train with us, taylorgunsmithing.com.
Less frequent watering for your lawn could help make it stronger. We're resetting the timers next on Western Life Radio.
Ricky, my man.
Hey, headed out on the lake, I see. These fish aren't gonna catch themselves, am I right? Got some brewskis from my broski.
No, thank you, that's illegal.
What? Come on, aren't you the guy that wrestled the buffalo on Antelope Island?
First of all, they're called bison, and I was delivering a breech calf.
Wow, come on, man. I'll trade you this sixer of suds for that life jacket.
A real man always wears his life vest. And he never partakes of alcohol while operating a boat. Everyone knows that.
Yeah, not everybody does.
Everybody knows that.
You got me.
Strengthen your roots now to improve its green as the heat returns. Alex Grover with Utah Sustainable Gardening checks the soil.
Now the other thing we have to look about is how deep do we need to water? And if you're doing turf grass, usually you want to hit it so the water goes down 8 inches. Now, I was talking about soil probe earlier. 8 inches, that's the length of most screwdrivers they would use. Very few people get it down 8 inches. Most people rely on multiple waterings to get their grass wet enough to grow. That makes it weaker when the droughts come. If you can water 8 inches, you'll find out you can water once a week or even 9 days, and you can have a fairly healthy lawn. I know 9 days because my father-in-law still has ditch irrigation. His water turn is every 9 days for 6 hours. And his turf grass that he does that way is actually quite healthy. It's resisted most of the common weeds except for the clover. And I'm not encouraging him to get rid of that. It's too good for his neighbor's beach. But old Larry Sagers, I have a lot of respect for, and he would only water his lawn every 7 days. Larry Sagers can do it, then all of us should be trying to do it. And certainly, I don't know of anywhere in the northern end of the state where you need to water more than 3 days a week. Unless you're establishing turf, you don't need to water every day. It's actually going to hurt your lawn.
Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff. Spring is fast approaching, and Sportsman's Warehouse shares your passion for hiking, fishing, camping, and hunting. If you want to feel at one with nature, this is the place to gear up. Sportsman's Warehouse has the latest in fishing to help you catch the big ones as the ice melts, or get above the inversion with new hiking boots. Their experts combined with a terrific selection truly make Sportsman's Warehouse the great indoors for those that love the great outdoors. Utah born and Utah proud, Sportsman's Warehouse, take it outside.
Now
Now back to Western Life Radio with your host, Brian Brinkerhoff.
Welcome back to Western Life Radio. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff, host of this program. We have Mr. Chris Haramoto joining us with Utah State Parks. Great destinations. There's so many to check out. And again, how many parks do we have throughout the state right now?
Believe it or not, we have 46. 46 wonderful, beautiful state parks.
One way to take advantage of it, as well as find a great Mother's Day gift, is get one of those annual state park passes.
Absolutely. So, yes, if you get a chance to look at our annual state park passes, it is wonderful, right? It's a great value. You can, with that annual pass, get into any of our state parks for a full year, right? So if you buy the pass now here in May, it'll be good till the end of May of 27. So that gives you a full year of just experiencing all the awesome state parks when you come in. And with state parks, has made it very easy as well. So we have our annual pass that you can get as a card. You can also get a digital version for your phone. So, I mean, everybody may forget their wallet from time to time or forget the card. A lot of times people don't forget their phones. And so you'll have that app right on your phone that you can pull up to Shore Entrance Station when you come through. And it just makes it so easy to access our state parks, get in, and really take advantage of that annual pass. And it's just a great gift for Mother's Day as well, as you mentioned.
Well, it's a promise to spend more time outdoors together as a family. And I think that's really what everybody wants.
Absolutely. I mean, I know for me, like, I know those are my fondest memories growing up as a child, like spending time with my parents, my family, when we did outdoor recreation. It's one of the things that I've really tried to impart on with my kids, too, is we're so busy with sports and dance and all those other activities in life that it's hard to get out sometimes, right? And so just to spend those few quiet moments with your family in nature and just really experiencing some of the greatest gifts that we've been given and just to take advantage of those all in one place is just magical.
It is incredible. Great price. You can order them online as well as stop by any state park.
Yep, they're $125, and again, that's good for a full year. So if you bought it in May, it'll be good till the end of May of next year. And really, if you just come up four or five times to visit our state parks, that pays itself off. And again, as you had mentioned, it's really about memories, right? Creating those memories with your friends, with your families, just because life is so busy. It's a chance to slow down for a few minutes, really take in some of the views, some of the awesome things that we have in Utah when it comes to landscapes. Like, I have never seen more diverse state than what we have here in Utah with the landscapes that we have. And state parks is a great way to take advantage of it.
So many ways you can do it. And with the digital side of it, you can actually go to two different state parks with two different groups within your family if you wanted to, or two different vehicles at the same park if you wanted to.
Yep, it's good with if you have the physical card that you can enter into the park as well as the digital pass. So sometimes we have larger families, right? And we can't all fit in one car, especially if grandma or grandpa wants to come with us. And so we have to split up a little bit. And so we've made it so that if you have your annual pass, that you can scan that pass when you come in, but as well as having your digital pass on your phone, we'll let that second car into the park as well. So just multiple ways. We're trying to make it as easy as possible to get your families into the parks because we want you to come and visit and get to see what we get to see every single day. Just an awesome experience.
You think about it, I mean, this is really one of the most affordable gifts you can come up with. I mean, you consider if you have two different passes for bigger families, I mean, flowers and chocolates for mom for Mother's Day, you're easily going to blow more than $60 and it's gone that weekend, you know?
Yep. And then, yeah, that gift perishes pretty quickly, right? Especially if it's flowers or other things. These are things that just goes on for a year. When you talk about pricing of things, just even taking your family out to the movies or going out to dinner even anymore with the family, so you're probably pushing $100 once you get done. And so for just a little over $100, $125, that gets you the annual pass, which is good for a full year. So, and it really, like you said, really hopefully it'll make you have a conscious effort to get out and utilize that pass more. So
there are so many opportunities, and every week there's different activities to check out, which tie into these day passes, which you can take advantage of. In the month of May, we do celebrate history throughout the state. We encourage people to take advantage of them. There's some great tours. For example, Danger Cave is a destination that you can check out and make reservations through state parks. Some of our state parks are in museums. There's lots of things to check out.
If you just visit our state parks webpage and go into the list of events, and there's something usually going on every single week when you look at it. With our 46 state parks, we have so many opportunities to share the cool things that we have at those state parks that we would love if visitors take advantage of. That you mentioned Danger Cave. I went in there for the first time a few years ago, and it is amazing of what you can see in Danger Cave. This is maybe a little less known area in state park that we have, but just an awesome opportunity to take advantage of it. So if you see that one pop up, I would definitely try to sign up for that one. Don't miss that one. We have some of the best archaeologists that present when they go through the tour of the cave. It will just blow your mind. So you don't want to miss that. And again, we have so many other cultural sites, other museums that you'd want to check out along the way too. Just, again, I just can't express it enough how awesome it is, the diversity of offerings state parks has. As mentioned, the outdoor scene, but also the museums, the cultural sites. So there's just so much to see and do.
I remember we did this once for Mother's Day weekend, and they actually gave flowers to the moms, and it's a bit of a ride. You need to plan your time because it is out there on the west border of Utah towards Wendover. Mm-hmm. But it blew my mind how much history there is, how old this cave was used. It's amazing to me.
There's still elements of it in there, right? From the people that habitated that area way before we got here, that you can look at and just see the history is still right there at your feet that hasn't been touched. And so, I mean, it's just a cool experience. If you have an inkling to want to do something like visit Danger Cave, I would take advantage of it. But we have so many other sites that are similar in scope to like that. I know if you look at Edge of the Cedars, Queen down by Blanding in the other end of the state, they're always doing cool events and other things that really bring that history out that could have been lost or just not really well talked about, that we bring those to the forefront and share. So we're always getting new collections into our museums for people to look at and take advantage of. It's a cool scene and a cool place to go spend some time.
And there's other places that are not state parks yet, but they're managed by state parks like Fort Deseret. There's also state parks that are very popular, like Fremont Indian State Park. If you're into dinosaurs, we got a couple of them there, too, to focus on the dinosaurs.
It's so interesting. Like, I was just recently at a job fair for junior high students, and somebody asked me, one of the students asked me, is there anything about dinosaurs you guys do with dinosaurs? And I'm like, believe it or not, yes, we do, with the field house, right? We've got some of the cool people over there working on dinosaur bones right now that you can actually see them physically working on almost every single day. And just the amount of awesome tours that they give about the dinosaurs. They're so well-knowledged. Their gift shop's pretty cool, too, by the way. If you like any dinosaur-related items, that's the place to go. But it's just, I can't stop saying it, but the offerings are just immense of what offerings we have. I mean, we haven't even touched other things like golf yet, right? So, I mean, there's just so many, many, many things that you can do within state parks, and it's just amazing.
You bring a lot of points up. Before we jump away from the dinosaurs, I know in years past they've had special tours where you get actually go out there with a paleontologist and actually find dinosaurs. I remember talking with Eugene Swalberg, who used to work at Utah State Parks before he retired, as well as Devin Chavez and other folks. They went out there and looked for dinosaur bones with the paleontologist, and they find things sometimes. It's pretty awesome. You get to experience everything firsthand.
It is crazy. Like, I'll go out with them from time to time as time permits, and it's just amazing what you can find that's still out there, right? But their tours that they give, the methods that they do to collect, what they do with the samples, if they do collect them from the field, how it gets processed, right? It's a whole thing, and they can teach you like step by step as they do this, from the collections from the field to cataloging it into the museum. It's just something else, the way they do it. And yeah, if you get an experience, if you check our website, as I mentioned, and find one of those opportunities to go out with the paleontologist, don't miss that one either. That'll probably be a game changer, especially for, you know, your younger children that are into the dinosaur scene. I mean, who isn't anyway, but like especially our younger generations that still have a strong passion to work with that and see that live is something else. As I said before, it's magic. A lot of these things are magical.
It is. And our newest state park also has a lot of dinosaur bones in it.
Absolutely. Utah Raptor. Yes, that is a awesome, awesome state park. And they actually have a hike coming up with the ranger into the quarry to talk about those things. And maybe you might even find a few things while you're up there with them. But that one's upcoming. Again, check the website for those details. But yeah, there's definitely some great opportunities to go to our newest state park to check that out. Look at the history on their museum. They've got such a rich history of the folks that were in that area at the time that you won't want to miss that either. But on the dinosaur scene, that's it, right? That's like on one ground zero that we have in Utah.
It is. And you brought it up also. There's golf courses as well as frisbee golf throughout the state.
Oh, frisbee golf. And a lot of our parks are interested in developing more courses, right? So there could be an opportunity to have multiple courses within state parks when we're talking about frisbee golf. It's a super popular activity. A lot of people love doing it. And so we want to provide more opportunities and cool courses for folks to take advantage of. We have some of our elite courses like up at Wasatch Mountain. They not only have frisbee golf up there, but that leads into obviously the golf portion of it too, with two golf courses up at the one state park, which is pretty fantastic. You have Soldier Hollow and then Wasatch Mountain. Both beautiful courses, both have its unique charm and then obviously challenge when it comes to golf. We have two other wonderful state golf courses as well that maybe people didn't realize is Palisade State Park and then our Green River State Park. Both provide golfing opportunities, both wonderful courses that will definitely challenge you. And hopefully, I don't know about you, but my balls usually end up in another fairway and probably beyond. But just fun, fun courses to go to. If you get a chance, check us out. We can get you tee time and get you on the course for some awesome opportunities when it comes to golfing.
I like it. So many different opportunities to take advantage of. Again, the Trailhead for more information, where do they go?
State Parks, yeah, go to www.stateparks.utah.gov, and that will take you right to our website, and then you can check out all the cool things that we talked about today.
Anything else you want to share with folks out there?
Well, I really want just to really express our thanks to your listeners for listening into this program. We're thankful for all the visitors that come to our state parks. We couldn't be successful without our visitors. I don't know if a lot of people understand about how state parks get funded. It is through the park fees that we collect on a day-to-day basis, whether it be the camping, whether it be the day-use areas, right? And those fees go directly back into our state park system to enhance the beautiful facilities, the grounds that we have in all of our state parks. I think that's what sets us apart from a lot of other state parks around the country, but also with our federal systems, too. You can probably see the difference between when you come into a state park versus a national park. We'll compare any of our state parks to about anybody. We love what we our offerings here. We're pretty proud of them. But we couldn't do it without our visitors coming to our state park. So thank you for everybody that comes through our gates. We appreciate it. And just know that those, as you do pay your fees that you come into the park, that is going back into our state park system. So it is a truly blessing that we have our visitors that support us.
It really is. And you're very customer oriented. Every year there's some new additions. There's new changes. Mm-hmm. Something is always different every year based on public feedback. And it never ceases to amaze me. I'm always excited to see what happens in the next season.
Yeah, absolutely. There's always something in the hopper. We have so many constituents that give us so much positive feedback and ideas that it's fairly easy for us to kind of roll into something new and take advantage of it. And so whether it be a new concession, new trail, if we can put, you know, a new trail into a system. I know we're working up in Morgan County, up at East Canyon, to look at expanding our trail systems for a lot of our high school mountain bike riders up there because they need a course. I mean, there's just other things that we do with our visitors, with our communities as well, to try to hopefully make it a one-stop shop for our communities to have a great place to go to as well. So it really is just an amazing situation we have within Utah, within our state park systems, and I hope that we're doing those things that make our folks proud.
Well, there's such a diverse range of activities and opportunities, and we may be going there for fishing, but we may discover something else there that we had no idea was available, and then it becomes our next go-to when next time we visit.
Well, absolutely. Well, for me, I know when I go out with my family, my wife gets tired because all I want to do is fish. And so it is good to have those other offerings there. My wife loves hiking, and it's pretty easy to find the best of both worlds where we can find hiking trails as well as our favorite fishing hole all in one place. And typically a lot of our state parks have those. So
again, the trailhead for more information?
Stateparks.utah.gov. So just check it out. And we have links to each individual parks. We have links to all of our events, the reservation page, and everything you'll need, what you can find on our state park page.
Chris Haramoto joining us once again with Utah State Parks. Thanks again for taking a few minutes with us around the campfire.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Explore the universe from one of Utah's dark sky parks. With more than 14 state park destinations to choose from, your family can gaze at the Milky Way, watch the moonrise, or make a wish during a meteor shower. With the right telescope, you can find nearby planets, tour distant galaxies, or capture the heavens with your own deep space photography. Your adventure begins with a camping reservation and a clear view to the darkened skies. Launch your epic nighttime adventure at stateparks.utah.gov.
Play safe, play sober. BUI is boating under the influence. It is illegal to operate a motorboat while under the influence of alcohol. And in Utah, BUI penalties are the same as DUI. It will cost you money and may cost you your life. Play safe, play sober. Visit stateparks.utah.gov. This message brought to you by Utah State Parks Boating Program.
What should you do if you find something historical in Utah's backcountry? We have reminders next on Western Life Radio.
Ricky, my man. Hey, headed out on the lake, I see. These fish aren't going to catch themselves, am I right? Got some brewskis from my broski.
No, thank you. That's illegal.
What? Come on, aren't you the guy that wrestled the buffalo on Antelope Island?
First of all, they're called bison, and I was delivering a breech calf.
Wow, come on, man. I'll trade you this sixer of suds for that life jacket.
A real man always wears his life vest. And he never partakes of alcohol while operating a boat. Everyone knows that.
Yeah, not everybody does.
Everybody knows that.
You got me.
School resource officers make $50,000 and up. Faster Utah can train 40 or more school staff members to the same skill level for the same amount of money. What do you think? FasterUtah.org.
How do we help preserve Utah's great history? Christopher Merritt with the Utah Division of State History has advice.
The best thing I always say is just follow the same wilderness ethics. You know, take only photographs, leave only footprints. Rock art in particular, if you touch it, if you put water on it, you might erase something that has existed for 3,000 years in a single instance because the oil on your finger can degrade the rock. Artifacts, if you find them on the ground, like projectile points, old broken bottles, leave them where you find them. Let the next generation come and enjoy that same discovery moment that you did. The way I always like to say it is if you remove an artifact, you go digging and looting, it's like taking your most favorite book growing up and taking pages out, losing those pages, and then taking all the other pages and reorganizing them. The story's still there, but it makes no sense anymore. And that's how archaeologists see the preservation of these sites. And part of the hope of this month is to raise awareness of the history around us. But again, just teach the public on how to interact with this stuff appropriately so your kids and your grandkids will have the same great opportunities we do today. Us here at State History, we love interacting with the public. We want those phone calls. If someone's digging on their land and they find something, it's your private property. The state's not going to do anything to take it away. But we would be happy to document where it came from, to give you an idea of what it is.
Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff.
Did you know that Utah's off-highway vehicle and personal watercraft youth education programs, required by law, are now online at www.stateparks.utah.gov? All youth must carry this certification while operating on Utah's waters or public lands. OHV education is required for youth aged to 15, and PWC education is required for youth aged 12 to 17.
Shadows cast, it raised blazes our spirits like warm glowing embers with tales of adventure invoked from the past. He's hunting and fishing in marshes and mountains, discovering life in the backcountry wild, exploring the West with its treasures abounding, with the soul of a sportsman and heart of a child. Wild and free, the song of the mountains is calling to me. Wild and free, in the great western wildlands, discover the backcountry dream.
Folks, you've been listening to Western Life Radio, a 30-year outdoor and western lifestyle tradition. Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff.